And today our text is Psalm 25, a psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lowly and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. The psalm pictures the journey of life. And this journey of life, we cannot successfully undertake this journey of life by ourselves. The word way is used 4 times in the psalm. In verse 4, in verse 8, in verse 9 and 12. And then you find the word path, which is used twice. Psalm 25 verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. We find the psalmist crying out to God for wisdom as he makes decisions. In Psalm 25 verse 4 we read, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. David is surrounded by enemies who hate him. Psalm 25 verse 2, O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Again in verse 19, consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. His enemies are laying traps for him. Psalm 25 verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. And his enemies want him to fail and be ashamed. Psalm 25 verse 2, O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. In verse 3, indeed none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Psalm 25 verse 20, O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. Now David knows that he is a sinner who doesn't deserve God's help. In verse 7 in Psalm 25 he says, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. In verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Again in verse 18 he says, consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. But David relies on the goodness and mercy of the Lord. David knew that the path of life wasn't easy, but he succeeded in the journey because David held on to three unwavering assurances. And you see those assurances in this psalm. David held on to these three unwavering assurances. Number one, the help that we need comes from God. Psalm 25 verses 1 to 7. Number two, our God can be trusted. Psalm 25 verses 8 to 14. And number three, trusting God brings us victory. Psalm 25 verses 15 to 22. Number one, the help we need comes from God. We read the whole of Psalm 25, and verses 1 to 7 tells us the help that we need comes from God. Other people may lift up their hearts to idols. Psalm 24 verse 4, the New King James Version reads, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." But David lifted his heart only to the Lord. And God is our only true source of encouragement. It happened once that the Amalekites had invaded David's camp in Ziklag. And they'd taken everything away. They took everything. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 verses 1 to 2 we read. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verses 1 and 2. "Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negeb and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one but carried them off and went their way." And this was one of David's darkest hours of life, when he had lost everything. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. The scriptures tell us, in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him." Just imagine, his own people want to stone him. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each of his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David affirmed his faith in the Lord and his desire to glorify his name. He didn't want to fail and bring disgrace to the name of the Lord. So David waited on the Lord, worshipped the Lord, and confidently asked God to help. He desperately needed wisdom to make the right decisions, to avoid the traps of the enemy, and to reach the goal. David now not only asked for God's guidance, he asked for insight to understand the word, to understand what God is saying. It is only in God's word that we learn God's ways and we understand God's path for us. So we can't go through life without understanding God's ways. And the only way we can know that God's way is known to us through God's word. Psalm 25 verses 4 to 5. "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." Now those words, "lead me in your truth," reminds us that the word of God and prayer go together. He's praying, "lead me in your truth." So he's looking into the word of God, seeking God's word, and he's praying, "lead me in your truth." Prayer and God's word are like two wings that a bird needs to fly. A bird cannot fly flapping just one wing. It needs both wings to fly. In the same way, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ needs God's word and prayer to know God's ways and to be empowered by God's Spirit to fulfill God's will. Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 23, 1 Samuel 12 verse 23, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and the right way." You see that? Samuel is saying he'll do two things. One, he's saying, "I'll pray for you." He's telling the nation of Israel, "I'll pray for you and I will instruct you in the good and the right way." So you see, God's word and prayer go hand in hand. John 15 verse 7. Jesus says this in John 15 verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Abide in me. My words abide in you. There you have God's word. Ask whatever you wish. That's prayer. And it will be done for you. So we are asking according to the will of God because we know the word of God. We know the ways of God. David is actually referring to God's covenants with his people. He's referring to God's precepts, God's promises, that the promises that God had given them. And God had given these instructions and promises so that his people could actually know his will and so that they could enjoy God and his blessings in doing his will. Psalm 25 verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. David knew the history of Israel. He knew how God had graciously helped them when they cried out to him. So David prayed with assurance and faith. David also prayed with a contrite heart. He confessed his sins to the Lord. We read in Psalm 25 verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." Again in Psalm 25 verse 11, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." Many a time we have failed to obey God. We have failed to follow his ways. We need to therefore ask God for mercy. We need to ask God for mercy for those omissions of obedience. We also need to ask God for forgiveness for the sins that we have knowingly committed. That is why we must ask God to search our hearts. Because we sometimes, it's so easy for us to hide our sins. But when he asks God to search our hearts, then he tells us what we have not done. The sins of omission. And then we also know the sins that we have committed. So you ask God for forgiveness of both these sins. Sins of omission and sins of commission. And David prayed, pleading. That's how he prayed. For the sake of your goodness and for your name's sake. Psalm 23 verse 3, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." For his name's sake. Psalm 31 verse 3, "For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me." Again, Psalm 79 verse 9, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake." Psalm 106 verse 8, "Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power." Psalm 109 verse 21, "But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Deliver me." Again in Psalm 143 and verse 11, "For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble." The help that we need comes from the Lord, our Creator and our Redeemer. Redeemer means deliverer. Psalm 121 verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." He is our Creator, he is our Deliverer, he is our Redeemer. "He is faithful and he will establish us and he will keep us from the evil one." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, he will establish you and guard you against the evil one." So all that we need to do is to diligently seek his face day by day. How do we do that? How do we seek his face? Through worship, through the word of God, and through prayer. And this is something that we must seek to do individually and collectively as a church. The Lord will also deliver this nation, I believe, if we, his people, would humble ourselves before him and intercede for this nation. We said that this psalm pictures life as a journey, and we cannot successfully make this journey by ourselves. David knew that the path of life wasn't easy, but David succeeded in the journey because David held on to three unwavering assurances. Number one, the help that we need comes from God. Psalm 25 verses 1 to 7. Number two, our God can be trusted. Psalm 25 verses 8 to 14. "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. At this point, David actually is pausing to meditate on the character of the Lord. God can be trusted 100%. He is good and upright, and what God says and does is always right. Therefore, God alone can be trusted to guide us. Psalm 25 verses 8 to 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. God has a specific plan for each of us. He has a specific plan for each of our lives, and he wants to guide us into fulfilling that plan. So we must trust him to guide us. If God desires to guide us, then how do we receive God's guidance? How do we receive God's guidance? David gives us some very simple and basic guidelines on receiving God's guidance. Number one, we must start with meekness. We must start with meekness. Psalm 25 verse 9, the King James Version reads, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." So if we submit to him in meekness, he will teach us his ways. That is his promise. But if we are arrogant, he will remain silent. In the New Testament, the word meek actually describes a horse that has been broken, a horse that has been tamed, a soothing wind on a hot day, and a healing medicine. That's how the word meek is described. A horse that has been broken, a soothing wind on a hot day, a healing medicine. Meekness is not weakness. It is power under control. Meekness means we are not telling God what to do. We are not counseling him. Who can ever be God's counselor anyway? The meek person receives the word of God and is submissive to God's will. Psalm 25 verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. God can be trusted to guide us. He can be trusted to guide those who obey his word. A willingness to obey is the first step towards spiritual understanding. And that involves meekness. Jesus said in John 7 verse 17, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." God does not reveal his will to those who are curious. God reveals his will to those who are obedient. Number two, God guides those who are concerned about his glory. Psalm 25 verse 11, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." God can be trusted to be merciful and gracious to those who repent. "Pardon my guilt, for it is great." Surely goodness and mercy follow us. But goodness and mercy won't follow us unless we are walking in the will of God for his glory and for his name's sake. Psalm 23 verse 3. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Then goodness and mercy will follow. When we are walking in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, goodness and mercy will follow. And this leads us to the fear of the Lord. Number 3. Psalm 25 verse 12. Psalm 25 verse 12. First we need meekness. Then we must be concerned about his glory. Number 3, we must fear the Lord. Psalm 25 verse 12. "Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose." Knowing that the Lord has a plan for our lives and that this plan is the very best for us, that should give us great joy and confidence as we seek his will. Psalm 16 verse 11. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 139 verses 13 to 16. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. You see, God has a perfect plan for each one of us. I call this the original DNA plan, which was marred by sin. But we are restored by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can know this plan that God has for us and do it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Psalm 111 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. According to God's covenant arrangement, those who obey will receive His provision and protection, and there will be blessing also for the next generations in the family. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 9 to 14. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my word, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. This is what Moses is saying. In verse 11 he says, and you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And He declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform. That is, the Ten Commandments. And He wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you're going over to possess. The word children is used nearly 40 times in the book of Deuteronomy. And this reminds us that our descendants can receive blessing from our obedience or sorrow because of our sins. Our descendants, the next generations, they can receive blessing from our obedience or sorrow because of our sins. If we love God, if we fear Him and obey His word, He will draw near to us and He will share His plans with us. Psalm 25 verse 14. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. The King James Version translates this verse, Psalm 25 verse 14. The King James Version. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will shew them His covenant. The word translated secret or friendship, it means intimate conversation, plans and purposes. This means that God desires to have intimate conversation and reveal His plans and purposes to those who will humbly walk with Him and fear Him. And this is what Jesus spoke about in John chapter 15 verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is what Abraham experienced in Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 to 18. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God couldn't hide what He was going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't hide that from Abraham. Jeremiah 23 verse 18. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear His word? Or who has paid attention to His word and listened? Jeremiah 23 verses 21 and 22. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 32. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing His secret to His servants, the prophets. Yes, David knew that the path of life wasn't easy, But David succeeded in the journey because David held on to three unwavering assurances. Number one, the help we need comes from God. Psalm 25 verses 1 to 7. The assurance that our God can be trusted. Psalm 25 verses 8 to 14. And number three, the assurance that trusting God brings us victory. Psalm 25 verses 15 to 22. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lowly and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. David once again seeks God's face in prayer, and now he mentions to the Lord the burdens that have come upon his life. There was danger from the enemy from the outside, and the enemy was also oppressing him with distressing emotions on the inside. But David takes all this to God in prayer, knowing that he could trust God 100% to deliver him. Now, what were the enemies that God helped David to conquer? Number one, danger. Psalm 25 verse 15. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. You see, the enemy had put snares in the path, but David trusted the Lord to protect him. Satan is a destroyer. He's a murderer. He puts snares in the path. John 10 verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Satan would trap us all. He would trap us all if he could. But if you are in God's will, Satan cannot touch us. He cannot harm us. We have the promise of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3, which I quoted earlier. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. The second problem, loneliness. Loneliness. Second enemy, loneliness. Psalm 25 verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. There is loneliness in leadership. If you do not have to exercise authority and make difficult decisions involving other people, if you don't have to do that, if you don't have to exercise authority or make difficult decisions involving other people, then sometimes you may overlook the fact that there is loneliness in leadership. But as we obey the Lord, we may sometimes see friends and family members turning against us. And this is painful. This is painful. Three of David's sons, Absalom, Amnon, Adonijah, three of them turned against him. David's close friend, counselor, Ahithophel, he also turned against him. What is the solution? What is the solution to loneliness? The solution again is prayer. David prayed, turn to me and be gracious to me. The third enemy is a broken heart. Psalm 25 verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. If we sit alone and feel sorry for ourselves and drown ourselves in self-pity, then we will never grow in the Lord. We will never be able to accomplish greater things for him. We will never be able to do the plans, the will that he has planned for us before the foundation of the world was laid. Enlarged troubles will either make us or break us. They will either turn us into giants of faith or crush us into pygmies. God helped David go through these heartbreaking situations. Psalm 4 verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Psalm 18 verse 19. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18 verse 36. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. God can heal a broken heart if we give him all the pieces and let him have his way. The fourth enemy is regrets. Psalm 25 verse 18. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Psalm 25 verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Now David may have had deep regrets because of the things he had done in the past. Who doesn't have regrets? But the problem was that these regrets were overwhelming David and robbing him of peace and joy. Satan still accuses us. He wants to get a legal right over us by accusing us before God. Revelation 12 verse 10. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12 verse 10. And I hear a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. This is in the future. This will happen in the future. But now he's accusing us. But Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's interceding for us before the throne room of heaven. We trust the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives when the devil accuses us. And God revokes and annuls and cancels those accusations of the devil. Jesus Christ has forgiven us of all our sins, our transgressions and our iniquities. And we must appropriate by faith that blood which he shed for us on the cross that speaks on our behalf, the blood that speaks forgiveness, healing and deliverance. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 11 to 18. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. The fifth enemy is fear. Psalm 25 verses 19 to 20. Consider how many are my foes. And with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. We don't know the exact situation about which David is speaking. But whatever the situation may be, these verses reveal that David feared for his life. Even more than that, David feared that he would fail and bring disgrace to the name of the God he loved. His enemies were increasing. And so was his fear. But David trusted in the Lord to take care of his enemies and take care of his life. For he says in that same verse, in verse 20, for I take refuge in you. I take refuge in you. The sixth enemy is despair. Psalm 25 verse 21 and 22. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Psalm 25 verses 21 and 22. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. For I wait for you. For I wait for you also means I have hope in you. I have hope in you. To lose hope is to surrender the future to the enemy. That only destroys the meaning of the present. David was a man of integrity. Psalm 7 verse 8. The Lord judges the people's. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. Psalm 26 verse 11. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. Psalm 78 verse 72. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Although David had sinned against God, but God restored him. And we find God approved of his overall life of integrity. God tells Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 4, God is speaking to Solomon. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules. God is speaking about David. Saying that he's a man of integrity of heart and uprightness. 1 Kings chapter 15 verse 5, later on we see, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite. David was wholehearted in his obedience to the Lord. Whatever lies the enemy was speaking against him, David knew that the Lord saw his heart and approved his character. Psalm 25 verse 22. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. You see, we are never alone in all our trials. As members of God's believing community, as believers, we have encouragement from one another. Our brothers and sisters around the world are also suffering trials. There's so much of trial going on for believers all over the world. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. But David survived his trials, and he was able to write Psalm 26 verse 12. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. So, whether it is danger or loneliness or a broken heart or regrets or fear or despair, we can always go to God's throne of grace and we can present our case before the Lord and He delivers us. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In doing this, in coming before the throne room of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, we will come out victorious and we will declare like David did in Psalm 26 verse 12, my foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?